So Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. He is risen. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." We thank the Lord for his word, a powerful account of that first day when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb and found it was empty. If you remember, on the Good Friday, the women had followed when Joseph of Arimathea had Jesus' body laid in the tomb. And so they knew where he was. They knew which tomb it was. You know, sometimes you get these people say, "Oh, they went to the wrong tomb. They were confused." No, they knew where he was. And they'd seen his body laid in there. And so they came and they find that he's not there. He's not there. And the angel met with them and showed them. He's not here. He has risen, as he said, because Jesus said to his disciples beforehand, "I must die and I will rise again on the third day." Yes, so what Jesus said would happen, happened. When God says something, it is. Yes, when God promises something, it will come to pass. And when Jesus said, "I will come again," he will. That promise hasn't been fulfilled yet, but we believe it will be. Amen? So, he is risen. And I've put this as a title, he is risen, what has changed? What is the difference? What difference did the resurrection make? Because I know on Good Friday we concentrate on what Jesus did on the cross, and how the cross is central. You know, so Paul would say, "Forbid it that I boast about anything other than the cross of Christ." But if Jesus had stayed dead, he would just be a martyr. And there have been plenty of martyrs. Today there may be Christians who are martyred for their faith across the world, even today. And a martyr, whilst it's a powerful witness, doesn't change much. Amen? But Jesus was not a martyr, because he rose again. Yeah? So what has changed because of the resurrection? Well, first of all, it's, if you like, the accomplishment, the finality, the fact that we too can be born again. It's a picture of what Jesus has done will also be our experience. The resurrection that Jesus experienced, Paul will tell us that we too will rise as Jesus rose. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it says this: "It is sown a natural body." So that's talking of our bodies. "It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We will rise and we will have new bodies. And our knees won't creak. And we won't need these anymore. Did you know there's no spectacles in heaven? We won't need them anymore. Because our spiritual body, we will be clothed with immortality. Just as Jesus was clothed with immortality. Yeah, his body was not the same. Yes, it was a real body. I mean, we know from the accounts that after the resurrection, Jesus ate with his disciples, didn't he? He even cooked them breakfast on the seashore. So he had a real body, but it was different. This body could walk through walls. Yes? Remember, the disciples were in that room, and he didn't open the door. He didn't knock and say, can I come in? He was there. So, you know, there's hints about what will happen or what our bodies may be like. But the reality is, his resurrection, he's the first fruits of all who will be raised. And we too, those of us who believe, we too will be raised with a new body as a spiritual birth. Amen? What else has happened? Well, now we have a position. We are alive in Christ. Now that's a big term. And especially in Paul's letters, he uses that phrase, we're in Christ, in Christ. Well, it's an important concept. And we need to recognize that, as Paul says, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So not only are we in Christ, Christ by his Spirit is in us as well. Amen? And so in Ephesians, which is this great letter of Paul's to an important church in the early days of the development of the church, he says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. And not only are we saved, we've been raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I know we're here, we're in Hemel Hempstead, and I'm fairly sure we're in New Life Pentecostal Church on the 1st of April. But actually, spiritually, we're seated in heavenly places. Now my finite mind can't get round that. So what I do, by faith, I appropriate it, I say, I believe. I am seated in heavenly places, and so are you. You may be sat there, hopefully awake, but spiritually, you are seated in heavenly places. Amen? So, it's again, wonderful truths, because Christ has been raised, and of course, you know, a few weeks later, he ascended to heaven. We tend not to make too much of the ascension in Pentecostal churches, but it's important that Christ went back. Because if Christ hadn't gone back, he couldn't have sent the Holy Spirit. Yes? Because that's what Jesus said, I must go back to my Father, because then I can send you another Comforter. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. So, we're alive in Christ. That's the reality. As I've said many times, we are aliens on this planet. Some of us, as I say, are more alien than others. But the reality is, our citizenship is now in heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. I may have a passport. It's an EU one at the moment. It may change, may well change very soon, in the next year or so. And that tells me, it says I'm a British citizen and part of the European Union. But the reality is, what is more important is I'm a citizen of heaven. I am a citizen of heaven, and so are you. Some of you here already have dual citizenship, don't you? Yeah, a few of you do, I think. Those who've got dual citizenship on earth have got triple citizenship. Yes? I think there's a few with dual citizenship here. But anyway, the most important citizenship we have is that we're citizens of heaven. And that is so tremendous. Where Christ is, we one day will be. But already he's put his stamp upon and said, they're mine. He has given us his Holy Spirit to be with us forever. Amen? And so we have that deposit guaranteeing our future inheritance. But already We are seated now in heavenly places. There's quite a few scriptures this morning because I think there's some important truths that we need to just sort of back up with scriptures. No good me saying my pet ideas. We need to back it up with what the Word of God says, because that's the only standard that we can totally rely on. And so thirdly, what's changed? Our justification before God is assured. And that's big words, isn't it? What it means is that now we can stand before a holy God and we can stand clean. That we are no longer condemned. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wonderful truths. But the verse I put here is that, well, we'll go back to verse 24. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised, resurrection, because of our justification. So in Romans, Paul is assuring us that we can now stand before God, not condemned for our sin, because they've been dealt with. And it's not quite right, but I remember being told as a young Christian that justification means that when God looks at me, it's just as if I'd never sinned. And it's maybe not quite the whole truth, but it's a good way of thinking of it. Now I'm in a position that God looks at me and it's just as if I'd never sinned. I had sinned. Sadly, I still do. Praise God, there is forgiveness and there is mercy. Amen? Because we need it. We certainly need it. But as Christ was raised up, as Paul says, for our justification, that resurrection is a confirmation that we are now justified before God. So when we sing that song, which you had at the offering about, I delight greatly in the Lord, I'm clothed with a robe of righteousness and garments of salvation. Yeah, isn't that great news? God has said, that word imputed just means that it's been imputed to us. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to us. God is saying, Jesus Christ is totally holy, totally innocent, totally sinless, and that same condition is given to us who believe. Yeah, it's wonderful truth. It's assured because of the resurrection. He who raised Jesus was raised because of our justification. Praise God. He has risen. What else? Already touched on it. We can receive the Holy Spirit because Christ has arisen. Christ has ascended. And we know Christ will come again because there's that formula, isn't there, as it were. But in John, right early on in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 39, this is where Jesus has been talking to the people and said, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon the disciples at this point, because Christ hadn't been glorified. When is he glorified? When he's raised from the dead, then he ascends, and then the Holy Spirit could be given. The Holy Spirit couldn't be given until Christ was raised from the dead. And so another powerful thing that has changed. Now the Holy Spirit can be with us. And then, of course, we read in Acts chapter 2, which is the chapter that probably most Pentecostal preachers preach on more often than any other chapter. And quite rightly, it's a wonderful chapter, record of what God did. And it says here in verse 32 and 33, this is Peter is preaching and he's saying, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. What he's talking about is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It couldn't have happened unless Jesus was raised. The Holy Spirit could not have been poured out if Jesus had died as the martyr. He had to rise from the dead. And now it means the Holy Spirit can be given. The Holy Spirit can come. And we can receive the Holy Spirit. If we read the Old Testament, at times, from time to time, the Holy Spirit would come upon a man or a woman. for a particular purpose, sometimes for quite a short time. It might be just one incident the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody and then depart. But now the Holy Spirit has been given to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And we believe that when we put our trust in God, when we put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Praise his name. Praise the name of Jesus. He gives us such a wonderful gift that we now can receive the Holy Spirit. What else has happened? He has risen. What else has changed? We've sung this. I'm so glad you picked this song. That song. We are now freed from our slavery to what? To sin. We are freed from the slavery. Before Jesus was conquered sin and death and hell, we couldn't help but sin, could we? That's our nature. We had a sinful nature. But God has changed our nature. So he says here in Romans 6, "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." I go on another verse. "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." So if we are now counted as having died to sin, then we now can be raised to life with him. Amen. We're raised up by God, and we're freed from slavery. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Yes, I may choose to bring myself into bondage again. I may choose to do it. Not a good idea. I'm not telling you to go and do it. I'm saying, you know, flee from it. Flee from sin. Mourn over sin. Make sure you don't get sunk back into it. But we need not, because our nature has been changed. We now receive the Holy Spirit. We are now part of God's family, part of God's kingdom. And we now no longer have to sin. We've been freed. I'm no longer a slave. You know, it's still a battle at times, but I'm not a slave. Satan hasn't got ownership over me anymore. I am a child of God. We are children of God. Amen. So let's rejoice in that. Secondly, I touched on it already, but death. We're no longer slaves to death. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." That's the promise, isn't it? If you've received the spirit, then death no longer has that dominion over you. Now I know sometimes the process of dying can be very, very painful. And sadly we still, as Christians, we're not immune to pain, are we? We're not immune to suffering, but we know God is with us in it. But we need not fear death, because we know where we're going. We know where we're going. A place where there'll be no more tears, no more sadness, no more bitterness, no more anger. Amen? That's where we're going. Or we will have those new bodies, which I've already spoken of. Death is no longer our master. Death is no longer our master. Life and the life-giving God is our master. And let's affirm that our God is a God who brings life. And as you say, he brings it in abundance to all who will believe. Sometimes people have this idea that when you become a Christian, you sort of die to everything. Well, yes, you do, but you are raised to life. Most incredible life. A life lived with God. He's speaking to you, comforting you, strengthening you, guiding you. It's an incredible adventure. It can be should be the most exciting thing of our lives, that Almighty God is involved with little old me, little old us. What an adventure. What an adventure. The adventure of faith that God leads us. Amen. We are full of life. Thirdly, again we touched on it, we're no longer slaves to our enemy, the devil. Now here he still thinks he's got mastery over us, but he hasn't. Amen. He will try to interfere in our lives and with the lives of our loved ones, but we are no longer slaves to what he wants. Amen? So in Hebrews 2 it says this: Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, as Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's talking again of freedom from the slavery to death, but it's freedom from the one who has the power of death, the one who keeps us fearful, or tries to keep us fearful, the devil. We are freed from his power. Amen? We have authority over him. Peter tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not he might listen to you if you're lucky. He will flee from you. We need to take authority in this sphere. We need to take authority when the enemy tries to come in and disturb us, disturb those we love, disturb our neighbours, attack us in any way. We say, he shall not have dominion, because Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the victor over the devil. The devil's power has been drawn. It's been destroyed. Let's not give him power by attributing stuff to him that's got nothing to do with him. Sometimes, we say, oh, the devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make anybody do anything. You have a will to say, I resist. I resist. I am not going to do that thing. I am not going to commit that sin. I'm not going to go to that place where I'll be led astray. I will not give in to that temptation. Resist. I mean, I know there's that phrase, and resistance is futile, but you know what? Resisting the devil is not futile. Resisting the devil is powerful. And we need to make sure that we have that bedrock in our lives. I'm not going to be a slave to the devil. I'm not going to be a slave to his ways. As we sang and proclaimed earlier, we are conquerors. We have the victory. And it's all because Jesus had the victory over sin, over death, and all that hell could throw at him. And they threw plenty at him. Not only at the crucifixion, but throughout his ministry, the enemy was trying to kill him. He was trying to dissuade Jesus from going through with what the Father had willed, to go through with the plan of redemption and salvation. But Jesus kept on, and he overcame, and we too can overcome. Amen? Touched on this as well before, but just to confirm, we will have resurrection bodies. It's great news. Great news for those of us who are getting a little bit older. Praise God, he's got a better one planned for us. I thank God for the body he's given me. Okay? Hear me. Now, I may be infirm in some ways, but I thank God that he's given me a body. He has given me life. And I want to use the life he's given me for him. Yeah? Now, there may be pain. There may be limitations that I didn't have a few years ago. But the Lord has given me life. Amen. The Lord has given me abundant life. And I want to live it for him. And I hope you do too. I hope you realise the gift of life that God has given us. Amen. But one day we will have resurrection bodies. And Paul tells us this. Again, slightly repeating myself. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that we may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's a mighty power. Jesus can subdue all things to himself. And one day he will transform our lowly bodies. And I'm so thankful. And so I'm thankful to God for the body he's given me. You know, we need to take good care of what he's given us. Maybe I haven't in the past, but we need to give thanks for that, but also to recognise one day he will transform our bodies and it'll be wonderful. Amen. Why? Because Jesus had a resurrection body, we too. Because he rose, it's changed. Our world change. One day, it's not only us who will change. One day all of creation will change. When Jesus comes again, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? There's quite a few verses here. But 1 Corinthians 15 is probably one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament on the reality and the power and the consequences of Jesus' resurrection. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he puts all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. It's all going to be made new. In Romans, Paul tells us that at the moment, all of creation is waiting with bated breath for the sons of God to take their stand, to rise up. We're going to have a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. The book of Revelation clearly teaches us that. I don't know what it's going to be like. I really don't. But I love those wonderful verses in Isaiah that talk, and in Psalms, which talk of the mountains rejoicing and the trees clapping their hands. And who knows what God is going to do? But it's going to be wonderful. Amen. And all this is going to happen because Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. Time is going. What's our response to this? Well, I'll suggest a few responses. And I've used one word there, which was used in our reading in Matthew. And it's rejoice. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Let's rejoice that Jesus defeated sin. It should say sin, death and hell. I'm sure I'd change that. Sin and death and hell. Let's rejoice about it. Let's rejoice about it. Jesus commanded us to. Rejoice. Paul would say, rejoice, and I say, rejoice. We rejoice that Jesus has done this thing. Nothing we could do about it. We rejoice. Secondly, let's rejoice that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. It wasn't like, God raised Jesus from the dead and all his power had gone. That he would never raise anybody. He would never give of his spirit to anybody. He's made the spirit completely available, hasn't he? Don't think to yourself, well, I'm such a weak Christian. If you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. How much more power do you want? Yeah? How much more power do you want? Just need to grasp hold of what God has done. Amen? And rejoice about it. Rejoice. We don't have to sit back meekly and say, well, these things are happening, that thing's happening to me, and I'm allowed, there's nothing I can do about it. Seek God's help. Seek the power that's available to you. Seek him in his word for direction, for advice, for guidance. Whatever the situation, apply the principles of his word. Amen? Rejoice. We can have a relationship with Almighty God. All over the world, you'll find people trying to make their way to God. They may use a different religion, they may have no religion, but there's something there that they want to reach to God. Christianity says, no, you don't have to reach to God, because God has reached down to you. He has found you. He has chosen you. He has called you to be his child. He has taken the initiative. I didn't choose him, he chose me. And through his spirit made me alive in Christ. And did the same for you. Amen. Rejoice about it. It's a good news. You can have a relationship with Almighty God as your loving, heavenly, eternal Father. It's good news, folks. And you rejoice about good news. It's good news. Rejoice that we have a living Saviour. Jesus is alive. Amen. It's not just a historical figure in the book. Jesus isn't just somebody we read about. He is alive. It's one of those wonderful old hymns, you know, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Yeah? Jesus is alive. Now, I can't sort of get a hold of him and shake him by the hand, but his spirit within me testifies, Jesus is alive. Amen? And as we begin to walk through this world, and as we try and encourage and we reach out to others, Jesus is alive in us. Yeah? We are his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece now. Yes? We are his witnesses into all the world of who he is and what happened to him, what he's done, and the truth of his coming back again. We've got a living Saviour who lives with us by his Spirit forever. He will not let you go. Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I have kept. We are secure in the palm of his hand. Amen. I know some of you may have been at the Walk of Witness on Friday in town, and many of us were given little crosses to hold in our hand. It's good. Good way of doing it. But you know what? It felt a bit uncomfortable to me. But I knew I could keep hold of it. I could keep hold of it. The cross should make us uncomfortable sometimes, shouldn't it? The truth of what happened to Jesus should draw us closer to him. But as long as I held on to that cross, I was, yeah, that cross was secure, and our lives are just as secure in Christ as that cross was in our hands. Yeah? Nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God. Again, Romans chapter 8, I haven't put the verse up there, but I'm sure most of us, or many of us, will know near the end of it, you know, I'm going to read it because it's wonderful. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing. Maybe we need to repeat that to ourselves. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So rejoice. And finally, rejoice, our Saviour is coming again. He's returning for us. And we'll recreate a new heaven and earth. Something to rejoice about, isn't it? That one day he will come. And we will be with him forever. Rejoice about it. And I know some people, all they want to do is debate it. Rejoice about it. Rejoice about it. Well, I don't know about this. And I don't know about it. Rejoice about it. Jesus is coming again. I don't know when. Jesus doesn't know when. It's when the Father says, turns to him and says, now. We know there's some signs and indications, but we don't know exactly when. But let's be prepared and let's be rejoicing that he's going to come. Amen? Amen. Can we pray, and then could we have a song? Maybe that, you know, I'm no longer a slave. Father, thank you for the truth and the power of the truth of the resurrection. Thank you, Father, that because of what Jesus has done for us, we have new life. We have eternal life. We have a hope that is secure in him. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us part of your family and citizens with you in heaven. Thank you, we are seated in heavenly places. Thank you, Father, that we no longer need to sin because the power of sin and death and hell has been cancelled by Jesus' actions on the cross and the resurrection to newness of life. Father, help us to live in the reality of the consequences of Jesus' resurrection, that we are alive in him. We are living with him. He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Nothing that comes against us in our life can master us because we have one master who is the Lord God Almighty. And we are so thankful for that. And we rejoice in it. We rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice. pray this in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.